This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 242. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Victor calls in the reserves, Jaime signs off, Bigby takes a fall, and a dark countdown for Kirk and Company. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, January 27th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Just want to put a quick plug in for our new video podcast from the Pop Culture Bunker. First episode just went up this past week. It's available on iTunes. We talk about pop culture. It's generally less than 10 minutes. So go out and subscribe to that. Justice League number 16 by Johns, Rice, and Frank. So the Throne of Atlantis crossover continues. And the Trinity plus Aquaman, who I guess would be the Super Friends, versus Orm is the big battle here.
Well, except that then Arthur is also fighting the Justice League.
Right.
So.
Because Arthur still thinks he can talk Orm down, which clearly is not going to work at this point. So he's now fighting both sides. Bruce gets shocked. Diana's attacked by this wall of water that Orm brings up. And Clark, of course, gets protective of Diana and starts boiling the ocean with his heat vision.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah. Then more lightning takes them out. And then meanwhile, Cyborg, Volko, and Dr. Shin are at the watchtower trying to figure out what to do. And Victor realizes he has to sacrifice his remaining lung so that he can go into underwater mode with his cyborg set up and save the others.
So he can't just use a rebreather or
apparently
something
not.
Else?
Well, basically, I think you'd have to seal everything, although why couldn't he just wear a suit or something?
Well, if all that needs to be done is to replace his lung to make this happen,
right?
Then you would think the rest of the suit was already prepared.
You would
and
think.
And besides, he has to be out in the rain.
Yeah, that's true. Now, his dad and Tio Morrow are working together, and there's a reference to Will Magnus and the Metal Men project. Now, the operation to remove the lung and make him worthy for sea travel will take a few hours, wow, to do
yes,
so.
A few hours and then absolutely no recovery time.
So he has no choice but to call in the reserves. Finally. This is something they've been promising since the very beginning of the series. They said they were going to establish the Seven and then they were going to bring in the reserves. Well, finally, we're going to see him. He calls in the reserves and we see on little video screens or whatever, Element Woman, who is a character from Flashpoint, who has apparently made it over into the new DC. Green Arrow, although he's going to go into the new JLA.
I wondered if this wasn't going to be a prompting or start our spinning point for the JLA.
I'm pretty sure this whole storyline is going to end up with the U.S. government going, okay, we need our own group. And that's how Argus gets the call to go ahead and form this new JLA. Black Lightning, Shazam, finally, again, we can lose this whole secondary storyline, the backup story.
But this Shazam still isn't as much further along in his metamorphosis than the one in the backstory is.
Yeah, I'm not clear whether this the thing with Shazam maybe happened a few years ago.
Right.
There's Hawkman, who's also in the new JLA. Vixen, who I think this may be her first appearance in the new 52. Zatanna, but she's still in Justice League Dark.
Well, I'm going to go back to Vixen. She's been in the Animal Man thing, hasn't she?
Well, she was in there in the Rot World.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but whether that's even happening, we don't know. Gold Rush, who, based on what I'm reading, is a brand new character. Now, there's a theory that they're reworking her as the gold character from Metal Men, because Metal Men is mentioned earlier in the issue.
Right.
But otherwise, brand new character. Black Canary and Firestorm. My guess is some of them will actually come in and some of them won't. Maybe the ones who have already been spoken for JLA won't come in. And as I mentioned, the Shazam backup is in there, continues to wander. They're not making any real progress in that. And frankly, they could just wrap that up as far as I'm concerned. Get Shazam in the group and move on. The artwork is nice in the backup, but the storyline just isn't going anywhere.
Do you think it would have done better as a full issue comic?
Possibly. I think it probably would have worked better than doing just a few pages and not really making progress each issue. But regardless of that, it just seems kind of aimless, where there's not things moving forward. And that's kind of endemic to the New 52 in a lot of cases, where so much stuff is going on that, okay, we know you're eventually going to reach some point you're heading toward, but you're just taking too long to get there. Blue Beetle number 16 by Bedard and Takara. It's a final issue yet again for Blue Beetle. DC just can't seem to make Jaime Reyes a star.
Which is too bad. I like him, but I'm really a fan of all the Blue Beetle continuity. Mm-hmm. So
this issue does two things. It unhooks Jaime from his family because he sends a message to them as Blue Beetle, which if the family hasn't figured out what's going on by now, they're truly idiots. And it hooks up Jaime to the new Threshold title because he's going to be part of this Hunted reality series. But it doesn't really do either of those very well. It just seems very much forced, a last-second editorial decision.
Yes, it does.
And I really hope that Threshold lasts longer than this title. And is there a way to make a stable Blue Beetle title?
Well, I was thinking that maybe Jaime here was the original Blue Beetle in the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could bring in Ted to be the new Blue Beetle.
Ooh, that's interesting. We'd love to see Ted again.
Yes.
Although I think, at least what I've read at one point, was that his character might show up in the Multiversity title if it ever actually is published. Supposedly going to happen this year. But they've been saying that for a long time.
Well, we've seen mentions of Ted Kord and Kord Industries, haven't we?
Have we?
I thought we had.
Fables number 125 from Vertigo by Willingham and Buckingham. So we finally get back to the main story, as the future Cub even indicates as he's writing down the story of his father's fall. And his father, of course, is Bigby.
The last issue of the regular storyline, though, had the grown-up girl coming back, right?
Was she actually? She was coming back, but I don't think she returned yet.
Oh, I thought she knocked on the door and everything.
Well, but I don't think we saw what happened after that.
Well, I was just wondering if this was supposed to be before that.
I have to assume it is, because they're going off to find the cubs. Of course, we know Darien, the other cub, is dead. Well, but how dead is a fable? You know, they keep coming back. So Castle Dark is now the new Fable Town. And Briar Rose lends Bigby her magic car to go find the missing cubs. And, of course, we learned this magic car is actually a witch. This happened in Ferrest, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's actually a witch that's been converted into this convertible. And you can basically traverse the endless realms up to 999 times, at which point the car is going to change back into this evil witch.
Right, so Briar Rose, she wants to smoosh the car before that happens.
Right. And Stinky comes along as the co-driver because Bigby doesn't know how to drive. I love it at one point where Stinky kind of just magically grows in size so he can reach the pedals.
Yes.
So they're off through the endless realms. And meanwhile, this mysterious swordsman that we met during the whole Dark continuity...
He taught Mrs. Pratt.
Right. And he turns the guard into a bird with his magic blade after the guard figures out something is up with the mysterious swordsman. And Mrs. Pratt i.e. Leigh Douglas, is sidling up to old King Cole. So she's working her wiles on him.
She wants to be the behind the power.
Right, maybe Mrs. Cole. And the swordsman reveals himself as Snow's first husband, Brandish. Very soap opera-esque. Now, with Bigby's fall, and this was what they actually refer to in here, is Willingham starting to try to wrap up Fables? I mean, we're already now talking about a future point where one of the Cubs is writing down the whole story. Because of what's going on with Vertigo's status, maybe he's hedging his bets and saying, okay, I need to maybe reach an end point here.
Or work towards an endpoint that maybe he won't have to actually use if things work out.
Right. Yeah, something that he can choose to take the off-ramp if he has to.
Well, I know whenever we've seen him talk about it, he's always said that he has hundreds and hundreds of issues in his
right,
head.
Right.
So.
Well, we'll discuss more about Vertigo's status in a future episode. Star Trek Countdown to Darkness number 1 from IDW by Johnson and Messina. So this is the official prequel to the upcoming film. Spock is having nightmares about Vulcan and growing apart from Uhura, because in the J.J. Abrams continuity, they're together. Kirk is very lonely as a captain, you know, the old no beach to walk on. They're checking out this pre-industrial planet. They're just planning to do a survey orbit because of the whole Prime Directive, you know, they can't beam down. And this energy field from the surface screws up the ship's systems. Now, how does this pre-industrial planet have an energy field? So the transporters and the communications are down. Let's go down in a shuttle with the senior officers. What a brilliant idea.
Well, it's a Kirk idea.
Yeah, that's how it always is. And Uhura is left in command. So the shuttle ends up getting shot down, and this alien army finds them. And the army is led by Captain April, who in previous continuity was the original captain of the Enterprise and apparently still is in the Abrams continuity or some version of the Enterprise in the past. IDW's been doing a pretty good job with the Abrams Trek continuity so far, so I'm very interested to see where this leads us.
I'm wondering, though, how the comic itself is going to tie into the movie series. You know, they've been redoing some of the episodes in the continuity,
right,
in the comics continuity.
Right.
But it's possible that the movie is going to take concepts from the old episodes and use them in a different way.
And contradict what they've already done.
Yes.
That's always been the danger forever in the Trek comics, is that Paramount obviously is not going to tell whichever comic book publisher they're working with at the time what's going to happen in the next movie.
Well, and then sometimes they wouldn't even know what's going to happen.
Right. So because of that, we always have the situation where you have an ongoing title, things are going on, and then the movie comes out, and then they essentially have to reboot things within the ongoing title. Say, okay, that didn't actually happen. Now it happened this way, like it said in the movie.
Right. If in fact, they are going to try to make it the same continuity. But
I presume that's what they're doing because they're tying everything so closely to the Abrams first movie. And of course, there's a whole thing going on this week with Abrams because now not only does he have the Trek franchise, he's going to direct Star Wars Episode 7. And that's official now. He may be the person to bring the Star Wars fans and the Star Trek fans together. And end this war between the two sides.
Yeah.
All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play our America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have an Entertainment Weekly.
Oh.
Last week was a special double issue for the Oscars.
Damn you, double issues!
Sorry, Mark.
Oh, well. Hey, I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 blog and the new From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-3219-SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.